With Montana News, I'm Freddie Monatis. Republican legislative leaders are calling the budget Montana Governor Steve Bullock released today unrealistic in a time of declining revenues. Governor Bullock.
But I'm optimistic that just as we've done in the past two legislative sessions, Democrats and Republicans will come together to pass a budget that is fiscally responsible, that reflects the values of this state, and that builds upon the economic successes we've seen in these past 4 years.
Bullock, a Democrat, proposes increasing spending by 1.4% over 2 years and looks to bolster flagging revenues by taxing medical marijuana and raising taxes on the rich. His two-year budget plan also seeks to build Montana's rainy day fund back to $300 million, as well as investing in Montana's infrastructure.
I'm proposing a $292 million investment in infrastructure with a responsible mix of cash and bonds.
The governor's plan would cut state spending by nearly $8.8 million the first year and $44 million the second, a reflection of lower-than-expected revenues from tax collections. Republican leaders say the state will be in a deficit when the next budget cycle starts next year, and the only way to fund Bullock's proposals is through raising taxes. Scott Sales is president of the Republican-majority Montana Senate.
In my world, I would call it, you know, not grossly irresponsible, but it certainly is. I don't think it's as realistic as it should be.
Lawmakers take up the proposal in January. Demonstrators across the nation today rallied against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Edward O'Brien attended one of those protests in Missoula and files this report.
We're here today to stand in solidarity with Standing Rock and No DAPL.
About 100 people gathered in a circle on the University of Montana campus Tuesday afternoon to protest.
This is history right now. This is civil rights history repeating itself in 2016.
University of Montana senior Lauren Small Rodriguez just returned from North Dakota's Standing Rock Reservation. She says protesters there have been intimidated and in some cases assaulted by law enforcement. DAPL protesters want the Army Corps of Engineers to revoke the permit for the $4 billion pipeline project. They say its construction has already desecrated sacred tribal sites and that completing the pipeline could pollute local water supplies. President-elect Donald Trump hasn't publicly commented on the Dakota Access Pipeline. He is, though, an investor in the company building it. When asked if that concerns her, Small Rodriguez strikes a defiant tone.
We are resilient people. We have done this for hundreds of years. His 4 years will come to pass. We will still be here. We will still fight. We will not give up.
Other rallies Tuesday included ones at the Missoula Army Corps of Engineers office and one in Bozeman that drew more than 100 people. Protesters also planned events in Helena, Great Falls, and Billings. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Officials say an Oregon man who died after falling into a scalding Yellowstone National Park hot spring was looking for a place to hot pot, the forbidden practice of soaking in one of the park's thermal features. Deputy Chief Ranger Laurent Vares told KULR-TV that Sable Scott told investigators that she and her 23-year-old brother, Colin, left a boardwalk near Porkchop Geyser on June 7th and walked several hundred feet up a hill in search of a place that they could potentially get in and soak. One of the largest employers in Stephenville says a loss of projects is leading to reduced hours and layoffs for about 100 of its 120 employees. Salway Corp operations manager Randy Osgood tells KTMF-TV that he believes the reductions at the steel fabrication plant will be temporary. Osgood says Salway is built on supporting the natural resource market, which is experiencing a downturn. He says there are some potential projects that could create more work next year, and he hopes the reductions are temporary. Salway Corp is an employee-owned fabrication facility in Stephensville, a town of about 1,800 south of Missoula. Dogs, trained to detect aquatic invasive species, have alerted Montana officials to their presence in two reservoirs here. Officials say the dogs smelled mussels in the Tiber and Canyon Ferry reservoirs, although officials have been unable to verify that mussels are actually present. Eileen Rice of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks says the mussels can be the size of a sesame seed when they first settle in. Water sampling this fall produced a positive test for the larvae of quagga or zebra mussels at Tiber, the first such positive test in the state. Water tests at Canyon Ferry were inconclusive. The mussels have caused problems in the Midwest and Great Lakes regions. where they have clogged irrigation and hydropower infrastructure and negatively impacted aquatic wildlife. A tentative agreement has been reached between BNSF Railway and seven environmental groups that sued, alleging that coal spilled from trains pollutes waterways in Washington state. Under the agreement announced today by both sides, BNSF agreed to conduct a two-year study on physical covers for coal and petroleum coke rail cars. It also agreed to pay $1 million for environmental projects and to clean up hotspots near waterways in Washington state. BNSF denied any violations of the Clean Water Act and said in a statement issued today that the settlement reflects its long-term efforts to address coal dust. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Freddie Monades.